week's gardening tips. I'm going to do it a little bit different because we've talked of gardening each week, and right now we're into the hotter part of the year where I've hopefully already told you to get your mulches out and how to water your various plants. But the other thing that should be coming ready for use, if not by now, even sooner, and for a good amount of the summer if you planted them right, is tomatoes. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to use tomatoes, not just how to grow them. I did a good long story a couple of weeks back. If you want it, you can write me at natureapproved@yahoo.com. Or go to organicmatters.info and you'll find a whole quarter of a show on tomatoes. But this we're going to talk about, what if you have tomatoes and they're not quite ready, or you have to go buy them, yours are not ready, or maybe you just didn't plant any this particular year. Well, the good news is you can take control of that ripening process with tomatoes, since they're among the family of fruits that naturally release a thing called ethylene. It's a gas that can be harnessed to help speed up the ripening process. The first place to start is storage. Tomatoes that are less than perfectly ripe will develop and retain their best flavor and aroma when held at room temperatures, folks. Refrigeration will halt their ripening, damage the way they taste and smell, and give them kind of a mealy, funny-feeling texture. Temperature's the key here. Anything below 55 degrees will stop ripening. Temperatures between 70 and 80 works best to ripen them, with more sugars and less acid developing in the tomato on the higher end of that range, in other words, closer to the 80-degree mark. And another little-known fact is that if you have a few days before you'll need to use those tomatoes, help them ripen by placing them stem side down. This is mainly to keep them from rolling around, but the sunlight will help the tomatoes develop a little more color and gently coax them into ripeness more from the bottom than the top. Now, if they're really, really hard, this can take up to 6 or 7 days, depending on how, quote, underripe they were to begin with. If you need to speed up the process, take the tomatoes and place them in a paper bag. Now, plastic's not going to work for this one. Or even a cardboard box or some kind of other breathable kind of container. Avoid plastic bags or tubs because the humidity trapped inside those containers actually encourage mold growth and rot. Tomatoes can spoil in that kind of an environment in just a few days, and they almost miss the ripening phase. You just skip around it almost. Once closed, the breathable container will trap some of that ethylene gas and hasten the ripening process. You can speed this up even more, believe it or not, by adding a banana to the box or the bag, which produce even more ethylene gas. And if you happen to have a tomato that's just full of underripe fruits all at one time, there's a tip that I found in the old Farmer's Almanac that recommends, should the weather forecast indicate, for instance, some really cold weather or sometimes even super hot weather, you can pull up the whole plant, roots and all, and hang it indoors upside down in an area with some indirect but good lighting and a temperature that kind of doesn't get around above the 80-85 range, and certainly not down in the 40s or 50s. You just hang it in your house. If you have tomatoes that are perfectly ripe but you aren't ready to use them, you have a couple of options here. Of course, back to the refrigerator that we mentioned is not such a good idea because the refrigerator is colder than ideal to hold those tomatoes, but it can buy you a day or two if that's all you're going to have to do. Just kind of FYI for your information, after a good amount of study, they found out that the magic temperature is about 55 degrees if you can manage it somewhere. That temperature is perfect temperature to both halt ripening and prevent the flavor loss that occurs as what really happens in our tomatoes is an enzymatic activity inside the fruit that decreases in the roughly 35 degree temperatures that are in your refrigerator. That's why they don't do well being refrigerated. If you did have to store them in refrigerator and you have time, they've done some studies that shows if you take them out a day or two before, they gain a little bit more of their sweetness and their natural texture back. One other thing that we've known, that if they're destined to just become a sauce or other application where the texture is not a concern because you're going to cook them or whatever, they can be washed, cut, packed into bags and frozen for longer storage without damage to their flavor. And I should add this because I've done this a number of times, especially with Roma tomatoes that I know are going to go in to my cooking, my tomato sauces. I call it my San Marzano tomato sauce because there's a particular tomato that comes only from Italy, certified. This San Marzano, but I swear I can make my Romas be almost as good. But how do I do it? It's interesting. I freeze them. You take the whole Roma or the whole tomato, doesn't have to be a Roma, freeze it in your refrigerator. When you're ready to use it, this is kind of a cool trick too, take it out, put it in the sink under running water for just a second. I mean, 10 seconds or 15. Doesn't have to be hot water. Shouldn't be. Just tepid water. And as soon as you do that for a few seconds, the entire skin will almost literally slide off in your hand. And what you have in your hand is my cheated version of a San Marzano, which comes to you always without the skin of the tomato on it. And it works perfectly. So well, the number one way, of course, is to grow your own tomatoes and get them from the vine just when they're perfect. As a matter of fact, I used to plan my meals around the tomato and not plan the tomato around the meal. I said, that thing's going to be perfect tomorrow or the next day for my pizza sauces, for if I was going to use them fresh as vegetables in my salads, which I do quite often, especially I happen to like cherry tomatoes for that. A lot of people know, I think they have a wonderful sweet flavor. So anyway, I always do this every week. I always say you probably now have heard more in this case about tomatoes than you even wanted to know. To wrap up this section on tomatoes, whatever that means, I will say again, and I've probably do this several times a year, plant things like tomatoes as ornamentals, not just in your garden. Think about it. I don't know if you've ever watched cherry tomatoes. They're one tomato that'll put out almost all summer long, number one. Number two, they're gorgeous. I used to put them out on my street side by the sidewalk with the intention that people that came by could have some tomatoes, the kids could eat a few tomatoes, sometimes they took them all, but in the meantime, they were as pretty as any rose bush and they lasted longer. Once the roses bloomed out, you know, you had to wait. Always a few tomatoes coming, always a few. You can get these little cherry-type tomatoes, yellow, they're called pear tomatoes. They've got now black ones. They've got bright cherries. It's a double winner. You send the kids out for a salad, plant some Swiss chard around the tomato plant, especially if you use rainbow Swiss chard. Just look it up. It's gorgeous. And you've got yourself a meal sitting right outside your door, no special attention really needed, takes care of itself almost completely, and you have a stunningly beautiful plant, even the bigger tomatoes are good, but the little ones are beautiful. And incidentally, it's something you can serve on your table in very, very short notice. While we're on the subject of food, let me give you, I try to every week or two give, I've called them organic hints, organic facts. So let's do just one or two about foods that all of us are accustomed to eating, and it's just, I hope, a few new ideas for you. First of all, let's begin by talking about eggs, because they've got eggs in cartons that say free range, range free, pasture raised, grass, I don't know, everything you can imagine. Some of them even brag that they only feed their chickens grain, which is not what chickens always want to eat. But anyway, more than 70% of the hens in the United States are confined, unfortunately, folks, in cages, which troubles me, number one. Number two, I don't care how good they try to make those feeds, they're just not as complete as a chicken would have access to if it were out being a chicken. The first thing you might see on one of the egg cartons is cage-free. Chickens are free to roam during the laying cycle and have unlimited access to food and water, although usually commercial, folks. And according to the United States Department of Agriculture, they are out, but they're not necessarily outdoors. If it just says cage free, I've been where there's a 20 by 100 long chicken house, if you want to call it that, with 5,000 chickens in it. So they are quote unquote cage free, but they're certainly not the chickens that I knew as a child. The next most likely labeling will say free range, or some of them even say free roaming. Those are hens that are uncaged, have unlimited access to food and water, again, usually though commercial only, and access to the outdoors. But here's the trick. This is where the government gets their hoof and mouth disease. Because while it says free range, but the outside space might be just a small little patch of concrete. It doesn't even have to be natural ground. So that's sort of another misnomer. They're free in that they're walking around. They're free in that they have to have a door that goes outside, but it doesn't go to anywhere. It can be a 15 or 10 by 10 concrete pad with one door to it, and again, 5,000 chickens in one little confined area, and they're allowed to put on their packaging free range. Now, the next one's less common, but it probably has some real validity. It's called Animal Welfare Approved. It's got an AWA, usually is a little insignia with AWA, on the egg carton. It's the ultimate right now in actual chicken freedom. Chickens always have space to roam in real outdoor areas. This label is found mostly on eggs from smaller farmers that just bring so many dozen in at a time. And the next and last, this is a misnomer in some ways because it's my favorite word, organic. Chickens are raised without antibiotics and are fed an organic diet without pesticides or herbicides of any kind. They can't have had any kind of shots if they get sick. They've got to be taken out of the herd. However, there's no guarantees about the living conditions other than that chickens must have access to outdoors. So what's my answer to that? And you can do this. Get organic certified USDA eggs with the Animal Welfare Approved AWA on the carton. Now, there's others you can go into. There's called pasture raised. And pasture raised does mean they're literally outside, but they still, there's some tricks that, because the government, you know, remember this, folks. A camel is a horse built by a government committee. If you want to screw something up, just get the government involved. So right now, AWA along with organics, my favorite. Now, that means that egg's going to cost you twice, maybe three times as much. You're going to pay $5 or $6 for a dozen eggs. But you're getting something that's really valuable to your body, that's good for you, and that you know the animal hasn't suffered, and that you're getting the best nutrient you can get from what used to be the eggs we used to run out and pick up when the chicken hit them under the tree.